Wow. If that doesn't make you excited to be in the house of the Lord, that the Lord loves us so much, He runs after, He's coming after us, He's caring for us. And thank you, Carter. Thank you. He wasn't planning on it, but I asked him yesterday. I'm here like, hey, God's moving in the wedding. He can move in. And isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord today? I am so excited about here being here. We are in part number 11. Part number 11 of Jesus, God meeting people in the book of Genesis. That's where we are. And you're here like, oh, Pastor, I don't know. I am going to review them even though my wife says I shouldn't and everybody else says I shouldn't. But you know what? I'm going to try to go really quickly through the 10 of them. We have the altar of leftover or first fruits. That's Cain and Abel. Cain offered the leftovers. Abel offered the first fruit, and God accepted the first fruits. Then we have the altar of thanksgiving and promise. This is the altar that Noah built with his family after the destruction of the world through the flood. And God, Noah was saying thank you, and God says, I'm going to give you a promise. I'm never going to destroy the whole world with the flood. Then we have the altar of Abraham's call in the altar of return. I kind of put them together. This is God saying, Abraham, you will have descendants as the numbers of the stars if you can count them. But he also went down to Egypt and kind of did not follow God down there. And he came back and he offered an altar of return. I would call it maybe an altar of repentance. Then the fourth one is the altar of the tithe. Giving God the first 10%, and he'll take care of the last 10%. And then the altar of covenant, number 5, it's until death do us part with Abraham. He cut the animals in half and says, may I be like those animals. Then we have the altar of circumcision, which is, you think, death is not a high enough commitment? No, there's a commitment that says, I'm not going to turn back no matter what happens to me in this life. The altar of circumcision. Then the altar of difficulties and mercy. Is there anything too difficult for God? Is there anything too difficult? And that's Sarah laughing at God, and God said, is there anything too difficult for me? Then the altar number 8, the altar of healing. And that one kind of shocked us because it was healing for your enemies. Abimelech. And God heals Abimelech's household. Then the altar of seeing and hearing. Powerful message of Hagar. Remember, she's the outcast. Does God see? Does God hear? And he does. And part 10 was the incredible, I love it, is the offering up of Isaac and saying, here's my son, my only son. And the Lord says, don't lay a hand on him. And God provides a ram in the thicket. So this is where we are, part 11. I was going to call it the altar of the well, but then if I called it that, most people would think the woman at the well. So I'm here like, no, we're not going to call it that because people would think, hey, we're in John, not in Genesis. So this is the altar of answered prayer. The altar of answered prayer. I'm going to have a long introduction before I get reading. In our walk with Jesus, there are times that we hear his voice and we know that he is speaking to us. And God speaks to us. And you hear pastors say it all the time. Last week I got up and I said, the Lord told me to ask my church to fast for Pastor Dick and to pray for him. And fasting was what the Lord told me. And I wasn't necessarily sure that it was his voice or not, but I was definitely sure after many people came up and said, thank you, Pastor, I needed that. I was wondering what I could do, and the Lord Jesus gave it to me through talking to me. Now, some people never have that experience in their walk with Jesus. They hear pastor talk about, oh, the Holy Spirit said this, God said this, and we think, are they hearing voices? Do they need to see a mental hospital? You know, and you guys are looking at me just right. That's good. I'm glad you're looking at me that way because you understand that that's, no, the Lord really does speak. But for some of us, we don't hear those voices. We read the scripture and the Lord kind of points something out and we say, oh, that's for us, and we move on. But we don't get that intimacy that we are talking. But what I'm saying is God speaks to his children in different ways. If you notice when Carter came up, did you know how I spoke to him? How many picked up what I did? I gave him a fist bump, right? Now, if another of you ladies were going up and doing a ministry of music, pastor probably wouldn't give you a fist bump, right? Right? Because we interact with our people in different ways, and the Lord Jesus interacts with all of us in different ways. You see, today we're going to be talking about, we've been talking, I think there's 8 of the altars all deal with Abraham, the man of faith. Man, that guy prayed forever for a kid. Right? And he tried to work it out his own way and those types of things. And Abraham, that's not who we're talking about today. Even though he's kind of in the story because it is his problem that the Lord's going to solve through his servant. And there's a lot there that has to go with that. You know, I want to say, are you living your life in such a way that your employees or those around you could do God's work in your life through them? Because they've seen God work in you, that they trust God to work in them. Does that make sense? And the servant, I'm in this passage, if you want, turn to Genesis 24, because we're going to be there. And it's a long chapter, and I don't know how far I'll go. I'll go until the Lord says, stop. But Genesis chapter 24, but I want you to know, it doesn't say, it just says the servant, but we think his name is Eliezer because of Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. That was who was going to inherit everything that Abraham had. It was Eliezer, and he had no kid, and we're assuming that Eliezer is still around. So Eliezer, I want you to know, has watched Abraham go through his stages of life. He watched when Hagar and his wife were fighting back and forth. You can't hide that from the servants around the house. He watched with the joy when Ishmael was born and Sarah and Abraham were so happy they finally have a son. And then the fight's going on and continuing. And he saw the joy when Isaac was born and the joy in the house and all that's happening in the house and the happiness and all that. And then he saw the sadness of Abraham sending his son Ishmael away with next to nothing. How it broke Abraham's heart. And sometimes the Lord asks us to do some tough, tough things. So Eliezer has seen all this stuff. And the Lord uses him. So if you will, stand for the reading of God's word, Genesis chapter 24. We'll be reading verses 1 through 27. But keep the Bible open. Genesis chapter 24, starting at verse 1, says, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who has charge over all he owned, place your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites and among whom I live. But you'll go to a country to my relatives to take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? And Abraham said, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from my oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from his master and set out with a variety of good things of his father from his master's in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down there outside the city by the well at evening time, and the time when the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by a spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had relationships with her, and she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. When the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little from your jar, she said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered the jar to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all of his camels. Meanwhile, the man who was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets from her wrist, weighing 10 shekels in gold. And whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed, and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness, his truth towards my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Lord, I ask that you would release me to preach your word. May your people have ears to hear, eyes that see. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage your church. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, they don't need to hear what I have to say. They need to hear your words. And may you speak heart to heart with them. Both those here in this presence and those who are watching online and those who will watch later online. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Which one of us who are not parents that haven't prayed for our kids' spouses? I thought it was funny that the wedding was yesterday, and here you guys are shaking your head. Lord answered prayer, amen, thank you, Jesus. But you know, what we don't get is Abraham has had the son, and he's had him for 40 years. We just read along, right? And when we read this passage, how many thought Isaac was in his 20s? Right? No, he is 40 years old. That means that he's been celibate. That means he's been waiting for Abraham and Sarah. Hey, you know, in our culture, we don't get to pick the ones that make our heart go like this. It's about two families coming together. It's about, and especially with a man of faith, it's not about just two families. It's about doing what the Lord wants you to do. And the Lord says, hey, these women in the Canaanites are not for you. These women not following Jesus is not for you. And flip-flop it. If you're a woman, these men who are not following Jesus is not for you. And Abraham is getting up. I'm guessing he's between 160 and 175 years old. I don't know how long he got, because the next chapter, Abraham dies. So I'm not quite sure, you know. But I do know that Isaac is 40 years old. I am sure he's saying, Mom and Dad, and I like that one. And Abraham says no. And Sarah probably said no, but Sarah now has passed away. And I'm here like, oh my goodness. I'm hoping that I'll see Elijah and Lillian get married, right? I'm not a young whippersnapper, but you know, if they wait until they're 40, I might have to be wheeled out in a wheelchair or something, I don't know. But is the Lord talking shop today? You say, I've been married to my husband for 40 years. I've been this pastor. No, I want you to hear. There's Abraham that's praying for his kid to have a godly wife, and he is now too old to make a 450-mile journey. Some of you guys are now picking up. I need you to pay attention, right? 450 miles, and the servant, right, is getting 10 camels ready. 450 miles, 10 camels, and Eliezer, and he is loaded down with some wealth. He has some gold. He has some presents. He has a dowry to go to the girl's family and say, hey, we can provide for your daughter. She's going to be okay. We have this much to give you, and she's going to be fine. She has nothing to worry about financially. And so the servant gets food, gets things ready, gets ready to travel. I don't know about you, but 450 miles is only about 7.5-8 hour drive. You know, you get in your car, drive down the road. Well, not back then. And then to travel through several different city, states, counties, or whatever, different countries, different kings, different places. Here is 10 camels loaded down with wealth. I wonder, did they disguise that they're rich? Did they make themselves look poor? How do you get from point A to point B without being robbed, without being all these things? So when they are talking about praying and safe travels and success, there's a lot going into this. Do you have the faith to trust God through all this? God might be asking you to travel, to go someplace, and you say, just be thankful he's not asking you to travel with a camel. Those camels. I don't know how long it took him to travel 450 miles. I did some research. I Googled and said, how far does a camel travel? And they said an Arabian camel can travel 100 miles in a day. Yeah, imagine if it's flat, if you're not going through mountains, and if you know where you're going. Here's the other thing. They did have a GPS. And maybe he's hoping, maybe Eliezer was a young kid and knew how to get to back to the house that Abraham left almost 100 years ago. How's your memory? How's your memory? You see, Elijah needed God's direction and guidance the whole way. He needed his protection the whole way. I read the whole thing with you. Did you hear anything where God spoke to Elijah and said, hey, turn left at this apple tree and turn right at that hill? Go over this? No. He's just saying, Lord, grant me success because you love Abraham and you love me, and I'm going to do what you have told me to do. There are Christians in that spot, aren't we? Where the Lord says this, we're going and we're doing the best we know how. And I want you to know it's okay. Because God treated people that way in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God speaks in his own way. And the thing is, you have to interact with God, because the servant was interacting with God. But he didn't hear a voice like Abraham said, and saying, you're going to be blessed, this, you're going to this. No, all he said is, Lord, give me success. Go with me. And they travel weeks. Let's say 2 weeks. And they finally get out of where Nahor lives. And some of your Bibles will say Haran. It's the same place. And they finally get there. And he has 10 camels. Now, I wish I had some camels, because I'd like to line up 10 camels here. Line up 10 camels, right? And they are sitting at a spring, a well, right? You have 10 camels. How much do camels drink? Anybody have an idea? Yeah, how much? About 100 gallons. No, each camel drinks in one sitting, if they're filling up, 20 gallons of water. 20 gallons of water. Now, we know math, right? 20 times 10 is what? 200 gallons. And when he gets to the well, he has his camels laying down, kneeling down at the trough, and they're with their big eyes, feet, you know, give us something to drink. And the servant prays. I think I want exactly what he's praying. The servant prays. So he's at the well. They're kneeling. And it says, O Lord, this is the altar. O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness, or the reckless love that Carter sang about, to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing, by the spring, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let your draw down your jar so that I may drink, and he who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. And I want you to notice, pay attention, look at verse 15, because it's important. It's very important that you pay attention to this. Before he had finished speaking. Okay, he's praying, right? The Bible says, before he had finished speaking, Rebekah comes. This is exciting, folks. It's coincidence. It's happen chance. I want you to pay attention to the incredibleness of this prayer. He's praying it. God had already answered it before he even started praying, because she had to leave her house and start walking. I think you're missing it. Because you think it's just about that. No. The Lord had been preparing Rebecca since she was a little kid for this moment. He has been softening her heart. He has been turning into her a character that he wanted for the nation of Israel to have. And it started out way before that, even before he started praying. As a little child, a mom taught her to love others as you would want. A mom taught her to love your neighbor, what? As yourself. She already has that instilled in her. She didn't have to think. I think you're missing it, because I'm not hearing amens. You see, the Lord has already been answering the prayer long before Elijah said, Lord, help me. That before he had finished speaking speaks volumes. Some of you think God's slow to act. Do you know how long it takes to create a woman's character or a man's character? She might not have been ready 20 years ago. She might not have been ready a year ago. But the Lord prepared her at the exact right time, at the exact time. And before he had finished praying his prayer, the Lord was answering. Lily, I'm gonna pick on my wife. Water, please. She doesn't know. I need you to see this. Georgia, this is for you. Oh, whoops. You're going to be carrying this jar on your head. Rebecca, you can hold that. Rebecca is walking to the well, which is here. Elijah is standing, and he comes running. Hey, can I have a drink? And it says quickly. No, quicker. No, you didn't do it quick enough. Okay, let's do it again. The scripture says he comes running, right? Right? He comes running and says, hey, can I have a drink? And she quickly gives him a drink. Good. And then she says, I will water your 10 camels. I will let her go from that. But I will water your 10 camels. Now, I want you to get this. That means that she had to lower her jar into the well, and it's probably much deeper than this, and pull up 200 of these. How long does that take? Going back to the well, pulling it up. You see, his prayer was not an easy prayer. It was a God had to answer prayer, because it's really easy to give somebody a drink. It's a harder thing to give a drink. Hey, I'm going to give you a drink, and I am going to feed your camels. I bet you she was wishing for horses or donkeys. I wanted to ask Christy, hey, did you fill up a whole bunch of water for Matt's family? The Lord prepared her. But even physically, do you know how much work that is? Do you know how much your back would hurt? Letting it down, pulling it up, dumping. Now, I want you to pay attention, because he prayed that a woman who said this, right? But notice he didn't jump at it. Because some people talk and do nothing. Right? fill up just a little bit, feed the camels just a little bit, I'm done. Notice that the scripture says, meanwhile, the man who was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord has made his journey successful or not. So the Lord answers really quickly, and some of us, the Lord has answered your prayers really quickly, and you said, no, it can't be. Because it's too quick. Lord answered too quick. It was my own imagination. It was my own thing. What you don't know is that Jesus said that the Lord knows that you need it before what? Before you ask. Hey, here's the New Testament and the Old Testament all coming together. The Lord knows that you need it before you ask, and it's going to be available for you. I don't know who the Lord's talking to, whether somebody online or something or not, but the Lord has spoken to you. He has answered this quickly, and you're gazing and saying, I'm not sure. I don't know. And the Lord is saying, I knew before you even asked. And you're discrediting it. You're saying, it's a coincidence. It just happened. No, the Lord's saying, I've answered. I've answered while you were praying. And you think it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. You think you were just praying for a coincidental thing. It's not a coincidental thing, because the Lord actually put it in your prayer so that you would pray his prayer. Make sense, church? Notice, from Rebecca's side, she quickly did it. She quickly emptied her jar in the trough and ran. She didn't walk back to the well. She ran back to the well and drew for all of his camels. The Lord prepared Rebecca for Isaac from a long time ago. And the Lord prepared her to be willing to be that servant heart and to go above and beyond what was called. She is going to be the mother of a nation. It's powerful. When she's finished it, and this, folks, is often where we forget. Look at verse 27, the last. When he asks her where you're from, all of a sudden, well, actually, don't go there. Go to 24. When he asked her, who are you? Because he didn't know that up to that point, right? And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor, which is Abraham's brother. I've come to the right place without a GPS, without anything. And she says, I got a place for you to stay tonight. Then it said, he bowed down and worshiped. So many times the Lord has blessed us, and we are like the 10 lepers who leave, and only one come back to thank Jesus. You prayed about this bill, and this bill has been, and you're here like, I don't have the money for it, and you prayed about it, and the Lord provided for the bill, and you're here like, thankful, but you haven't gone down and said, thank you, Jesus. You have blessed me. You have blessed it. You have given me success. Well, guess what? The remainder of the message, the end of the chapter, is retelling the same story again, but it's retelling it to mom and dad and brother. And they hear the story and they say, it seems like God is in this. And notice, maybe you, just a reminder, every time you see L-O-R-D in all caps, it means Yahweh, it's God's personal name. It means God, God, God. You got it? It's not just a God, it's God the Father. It is. And he goes and he tells the story. And mom says and brother says, yeah, you can take her. But the servant's like, it doesn't say this in the scripture, so I'm making it up. So give me some leeway. Abraham's 160. He wants to see his daughter-in-law. I need to get going back. I don't have time to sit here and have pleasantry. The Lord, he's the one that sent me. I want to get back. And I'm thinking from the parent side, over my dead body, my daughter's leaving that quick. I want to know you better. I want to know his qualifications. I'm that. But when the Lord's in it, all we can just say is, yes, Lord. We need to put off our reservations and all of that type of thing. We need to just say, yes, Lord. Because he has it all in his hands. Rebecca is fascinating. Her life changed literally overnight. And they said, call Rebecca. We would like 10 days and then send you back. And he goes, the Lord has done so much. He has been so phenomenal. I don't want to tarry. And Rebecca says, I'm going to go with him. We're leaving. Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. Bye, bro. I'm gone. Mom sends her not only away, but she sends her servant with her. Her nurse went along with her. So they went out and headed back. The scripture says, Isaac went out to meditate and pray. At Beer Lahai Ro, which means the well that sees and the wells that hears me. And he's going out to pray. And as he's praying, he looks up and he sees those 10 camels coming back. Rebecca, for the first time, sees Isaac. And she goes to Eliezer, who's that? And he goes, that's my master. And she covers herself. They get married. All because of answered prayer. It's an amazing story. I don't know what the Lord is saying to you today. But I believe there's a couple things that the Lord, I'm going to just reiterate. Some of you are looking at answered prayer and you still feel distance from the Lord. And the Lord says, I've answered your prayer. I love you. I hear you. I know where you are. It's good. Some of you means, hey, start praying for your kids. That's me, right? Pray. I have Elijah and Lillian. I'm already praying for their spouses. I'm already praying that Lillian's husband would have a good day at school, that he would follow Jesus, that he would love Jesus, and all those types of things. I'm already praying those things. So if that's in your boat, and maybe the Lord's, you're Rebecca, and you're here like, I've been waiting, or you're Isaac, I've been waiting, Lord. And the Lord says, it's not time yet. But definitely don't pick somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Definitely don't pick, don't think you're going to convert them. No, wait for the Lord's time, and the Lord will send. You say, we don't do it that way anymore, Pastor. That's true, we don't. But we still ask the Lord about our spouse, and he still directs our paths. And maybe the other spouse is not ready yet. It's all in God's timing. But I'll tell you, as you're praying that prayer, the Lord is already moving to answer it. And I want that to give you hope. Do you hear me, church? And it's about any prayer. Any prayer that you're praying, while you are still praying the prayer, the Lord is already moving, and he's been moving, and he's been moving a long, long time even before you pray. So let's give God praise today. I think I've given you what the Lord wanted you to hear today. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for these good people who have sat patiently. But Lord, more important is that you've spoken to each one. Lord, would you uplift them? Would you bless them and would you encourage them? Lord, you are God who answers prayer. Even for spouses, even for safe travels, even for the impossible. Like a woman filling water for 10 camels. And she did it quickly, completely, and happily. Lord, I give you thanks for answered prayer. In Christ's name, amen.